Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, March the 5th. Happy first Monday of the month, and as we do each month at this time, we welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Joy.
And also today's special guest, in addition to Phil, of course, is Wisconsin Public Radio's director of engineering and operations, Steve Johnson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Yeah, last month, during the first Monday with Phil, we focused in on talk programming, and we took your questions and feedback for issues related to our call-in shows. This month, this hour, the focus will be on new technology like HD radio and webcasting and new stations on the air at Wisconsin for Wisconsin Public Radio and other technical issues that might affect your listening. We receive a number of questions each month about reception problems and the like, so we thought we would try to answer many of them during this edition of Mondays with Phil. So if you have any, call 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we have three open lines right now, and we will get to your questions in about 10 minutes or so. But first, we have some news to share, don't we, Phil, on our just concluded pledge drive?
That's right, Joy. We just ended our winter pledge drive on Saturday night at 7 o'clock and did very well. Our listeners came through with a total of, as of Saturday night, and there's still some coming in, but a total of $776,229, and that was 5,200 callers and 1,560 new members. So it was very successful. Our goal, we fell just a little bit short. Our goal was 800,000, but by the time some of the other web pledges and other things are tallied, I think we're going to be very, very close.
It was just tremendous, Phil. It really was. And while we might have fallen just a little bit short, it was amazing on how listeners came through on that very last 2 days, wasn't it?
During the last 2 days, between Friday morning and Saturday at 7 p.m., we raised over $280,000. That was quite a...
And so how much are we going to use of that to pay for HD radio?
Well, we've been fortunate with HD radio in that it's been, so far anyway, it's been a combination of federal and state grants that we've been able to obtain to convert the six or so stations that we've already converted.
Yeah. So, Steve Johnson, thank you again for coming in and sharing the hot seat with Phil this hour. We do have some news, too, to share on HD radio in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. We've got about seven stations converted at this point, and that's pretty good. I mean, most organizations might be just putting their toe in the water. We're a real pioneer in this.
Yeah. So what does HD radio actually mean?
HD stands for high definition, and was originally called IBOC, was what it was called as a technical term. It's in-band on-channel, and HD radio was intended to be an add-on to the existing analog signal. Rather than getting a new frequency, a new band somewhere, it might be, you know, like DM, like AM, FM, and DM. The goal was to try and do something that with the spectrum we already had.
Yeah, and what are we doing with the spectrum that we have?
Well, it's a matter of squeezing in a little digital signal on either side of the original AM or FM signal, and it works quite well. It's, in a sense, it's something free or something, getting something for nothing, but it's quite amazing how it works out. But with an AM or an FM HD radio, a new special type of radio that you buy, it'll sense the presence of those digital signals and switch you over to the digital service that we're providing.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, too, because we heard of high-definition television and how we all have to buy new TVs by a certain date in order to receive this new high-definition TV. Is that the case with radio or
no, not? No, it isn't, because the goal with the radio industry was to provide this extra service without having to shut off the analog service. It's a hybrid, a mixed sort of a service, and there is no deadline for this. There's about 1,200 stations now that have started running the new signals, but it's indefinite when we will ever shut off the analog. There's so many analog radios. There's billions of analog radios out there.
Yeah.
And I think we also need to make the point that analog radios will we'll pick up the main channel of digital transmission as well. So you're not going to lose mm-hmm. Wisconsin Public Radio that you have right now. What you might gain when you buy a digital radio is the extra channels that we can squeeze in with something called multicasting. Digital broadcasting gives us the capability to broadcast two or more signals on the channel, as Steve
was
saying.
A whole other radio station there.
So right now in the Milwaukee area or southeastern Wisconsin area where listeners can pick up WHAD, the Ideas Network station, with this program on it right now. Now, if you have an HD radio, WHAD listeners can also hear something else.
That's right. Well, your first choice would be just a digital version of the same Ideas Network programming. So you'd hear, when you first tune in, you'd hear Joy's program in analog, and then the radio would sense the digital and switch over. But then you have another choice. If you tune the knob, just like you're tuning to another station, tune it one more click up, you'd go to our HD2 service, which is a 24-hour classical service we're experimenting with on that station.
Yeah, and in fact, I think you might even hear this if you're listening to WHAD2.
You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio's new HD classical music service, now on the air 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. It's classical music broadcast with digital technology that assures the highest quality sound. For more information on this new service, visit our website, wpr.org.
Well, who is that?
That's one of the announcers with the consortium that we formed with the Classical Public Radio Network. Mm-hmm. We've gone in partnership with KUSC in Los Angeles and Colorado Public Radio to produce this programming. It's inexpensive when we club together that way, but it's a very high-quality classical music programming. That's one of the announcers. She's either based in Colorado or Los Angeles, I would imagine.
Yeah, so we will be carrying this particular classical music service on the second channel in all of our regions, Phil, or what's the deal with that?
That'll be decided on a region-by-region basis. Right now, we're carrying the what we're calling HD Classical, the 24-hour classical channel, in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Madison. But, for example, in central Wisconsin, on WHRM, in Wausau, on the secondary audio channel, we're actually carrying the Ideas Network. And we're doing that because we have a weakness in central Wisconsin in that we have an AM daytime station that carries the Ideas Network, WLBL. That goes to very low power at night. So if somebody has a digital radio, they'll be able to hear the Ideas Network at night quite a bit farther and quite a bit clearer.
Oh, that'll help a lot of those questions that we get on this program every month, right?
Every month.
Yeah, so where do I get an HD radio, Steve? I don't have one.
Well, there's some local vendors that offer it. Here in town, we've got quite a few. I shouldn't mention their names right now, but they are.
But they are on sale.
They are stocked, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's some of the more common shops, too. I'm quite amazed. Prices are ranging. The lowest price I've seen on sale was $99. And that was a special that ran for a few days. Typical price is about $150 to maybe as much as $300 for a typical radio. Car radios are available, as well as table radios and stereo tuner-type receivers.
Now, I think a lot of people might be a little bit confused still. HD radio is not satellite radio.
That's true, and
that's
a point of confusion. Mm-hmm. Satellite radio is a digital transmission as well, but it's completely separate. It's on a separate set of frequencies, and it's coming from the sky rather than from a local transmitting tower. The services there are completely syndicated. That is, they're not a local program coming from your area. It's national or even hemispherical, you might say. It's meant to cover a huge area, and it's very generic in terms of the programming. On the other hand, they got a lot of different options, and I'll grant them that. However, an interesting feature of satellite radio is as they divvy up their channels, their available bandwidth, I've noticed they keep dividing it further and further. You've heard that, Phil.
Yes.
And you mentioned it the other day. And so their fidelity will go down as they add more channels. That's true of HD as well. If we split it too far, you know, if we had HD3, HD4, HD5, the same principle would apply. But with public radio, local public radio, like here on Wisconsin Public Radio, you're going to hear us striking a good balance between multiple services and quality of the audio.
I don't think there's anything that prevents us from saying, because people are wondering where to get radios, you can, the $99 radio that Steve was talking about, although I think it's about $150 now, is at Radio Shack. Radio Shack carries a brand. We had an event in Milwaukee at Flanner's about a month ago, and they're carrying a couple of models of HD radio. American TV, I know, is carrying a car radio and are planning to carry the tabletop models as well. So they're starting to become available. It's kind of a chicken and egg thing. The retailers don't want to carry too many digital radios because there's not that much programming out there, and there's not that much programming out there because the radios aren't available. But I think we're starting to see now where they're becoming a little bit easier to get in the store. The prices are already coming down a little bit too, as Steve mentioned, you know, between $150 and $200 to $250. And the quality is quite good. So one thing we haven't talked about is the HD radio does give listeners a better quality signal. Mm-hmm. In FM, you hear it mostly on the elimination of some of the multipath.
Those distortions that you hear as you drive along, the noises. Yeah, that's my impersonation of it.
I was going to say, do that
again.
Like if you drive under a bridge or something.
That's right, yeah. The places that you have poor reception, the digital will help you glide through that completely seamlessly. It's quite amazing. Sometimes I'll forget that I'm listening in HD. I've got HD in my car. And realize, wow, what a great signal we've got in this area. What have we done different? No, we're in HD. Those signal impairments are still there, but the HD has a buffer and it hides them from you. So
and you WHA, the AM station in Madison, will sound more like an FM you're listening to HD.
It's a striking difference.
That's the most dramatic change. Mm-hmm. When you first tune it in and the radio starts in analog and then it switches to digital, it blows your mind. It's a real amazing difference. Now, I always emphasize, AM transmitting stations send a full fidelity signal, but it's the radios over the years that have developed that very narrow sound like this. And so that...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's true. Because that's the way they reacted to listener complaints.
Really?
By narrowing the response. That's all they could do on their end to control the interference issues.
Well, I'm going to take a short pause, and then we'll have Steve Johnson give us more sound effects. and we will take listener calls. Our lines are full right now with listeners. Actually, someone just hung up. So 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890. Our numbers, if you have questions on technical issues and new technology and radio listening for Steve Johnston and Phil Corvo. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 23 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, March the 5th. It's At Issue with Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6, and coverage of the Great Decision series continues after 5 when Ben and his guest will discuss the politics and the economy of Central Asia. That's coming up this afternoon after 5. We are talking about Wisconsin Public Radio and HD radio and other technical issues involving your radio listening. It is the first Monday of the month when we always welcome in Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and our special guest this hour is the director of engineering and operations, Steve Johnston. And again, we welcome your questions about technical issues or your emails. We did get an email from Joe somewhere in central Wisconsin, because this is his question, Phil. Since the Ideas Network coverage is spotty in many parts of central and northern Wisconsin, why is money being spent to expand HD when most of us listen to Wisconsin Public Radio in our cars, our boats, and our back porches, not planted in one spot with an HD radio? That's what Joe wants to know.
In central Wisconsin...
He says in many parts of northern and central Wisconsin. But in any case, he's saying that he understands that HD radio will give an option. But what about all the, you know, when he's in the car and or on the boat or on his back porch?
Well, one of the things, first of all, as I mentioned early in the program, we've been fortunate in that we've been able to obtain grants from CPB, federal and state building commission dollars to convert our stations to digital. So we haven't had out-of-pocket costs for that. But
And the grants weren't available for other purposes.
Right.
Those are specific to HD, so we take advantage of that opportunity when it comes along.
But I think that points out one of the advantages of when that individual can get an HD radio in his or her car, they'll be able to get the ideas network a lot clearer on the secondary audio channel of WHRM. So part of what we're trying to do with HD is to expand our current networks as well.
Yeah, it's not a matter of one exclusive of the other. These projects can run in parallel. The idea, though, he mentioned about being portable, being out in the boat or hiking and things like that, there are no portable HD radios out yet that I'm aware of. The problem there is the power consumption.
Except for car.
Well, yeah, in that sense. I'm thinking of a handheld radio or something you could put on your belt, maybe like a Walkman. The next generation of receivers that are being designed right now will have that. The issue is the power consumption of the extra integrated circuits, the chips. The batteries would go dead very quickly for a portable device.
Thanks to Joe. We're going to go now to George in Pembine. Hi, George.
Yes, good morning, folks. Here in Pembine, I can get both 88.1 and 91.9. We can just barely get them. We're on the northern fringe of that. And most of the residents around here are, there's a lot, they work or shop up in Iron Mountain, which is about 20 miles north of here. And both of those signals die out as you get close, right at the border, the Michigan border there around Niagara. Now, I was wondering, is this, I don't know if either one of those stations are converted yet to HD, but if they do, will that help the reception at all? Will that improve the reception farther and a little more distant from the transmission sites?
Steve, you're shaking your head.
No, not in the analog mode that we're running now. We're finding that the coverage of the digital signal is just slightly less than a barely tolerable analog signal. In other words, if you're able to tolerate the sound of the analog, it's noisy, maybe a little bit of interference, you won't lock the HD signal. It will not be received.
Okay.
So that won't help. But we do have a lot of projects going all over the state trying to identify opportunities for increases in power or new stations.
I see.
And I have personally studied that area trying to find a way to wedge another station. And a lot of the troubles are in some areas there are too many stations already, and it's hard to get another piece in the puzzle, so to speak. However, up there it's not so bad with the spacing because it's really relatively sparsely populated compared to the metro areas.
Right.
In any case, the projects are there to try to do that. Now, bear in mind that you have to plant these seeds and then they bear fruit years down the road.
Sure.
It's such a long and cumbersome bureaucratic process to get the stations on the air. But we had one recently that bore fruit, but it was many years old. That was a station down in Platteville. That seed had been planted, and we put on a new station this year, WSSW 89.1, down that way. And it's been well received, but man, I don't know. Phil, how long did that take overall?
That was about a 10-year process, but that was because of a complicated situation at the FCC. But I will say too, Joe, that the FCC is planning, we think sometime this fall, to open up a window for new non-commercial applications. There's been a freeze on non-commercial applications for 9 years at the FCC.
Yeah, that sort of puts a stop to it all.
So this may be an opportunity for us to find something in that area, and that is an area that we're looking at because we don't have a station on either network, Ideas or News and Classical, in the northeastern Wisconsin area.
Thanks for working hard, though, at pulling in the signal. I appreciate that.
One other question: are any of the new cars coming out with HD?
That's a very good question, and I personally think that when they do, that's going to make a big difference for the rollout of HD radio. The whole technology, the Ubiquiti technology, is one that's owned by a lot of investors, including some of the major car manufacturers. So I don't think they've come out yet, but do you know, Steve?
Well, there are a few. There's, I think, three different car lines that have it as their luxury line of options for their fanciest cars. But with each passing model year, the the folks from the companies that make those OEM radios say, well, we're keep add more models every time.
Thanks a lot, George, for the call. And I can attest, my parents used to live in Florence, Wisconsin, right across the border from Iron Mountain, Michigan, and they really missed Wisconsin Public Radio. My mother did put up an antenna that, you know, she'd have to, like, stand on her head and put something out the window in order to pull in a signal, the WPNE signal, and she managed to do that. But I'm sure a lot of people up there would appreciate being able to get the signal.
It's a growing area.
Mm-hmm. Sally in Middleton is with us now. Hi, Sally.
Hello. Thanks so much for the for this opportunity. And one compliment, I love the On Your Money program on Sunday morning. Unfortunately, it's at 7 a.m., so probably a lot of people don't have the radio on yet. But I make a point to listen to that. It's just a great all-around program.
Oh, thank you for that. That is a relatively new program that is produced from the studios of our Eau Claire Bureau. And we kind of just it was a regional program just in Eau Claire, and we brought it to the whole state this past summer. So I'm glad to know someone appreciates it.
Oh, it's the best financial program ever put together, I think, all around finances, just good living. Anyway, my question is, with all these new technical advances, why is it so hard to hear when I'm listening to your call-in programs, AM? Why can't we hear the other call-in? I always hear the speaker, the host. That's no problem, and everything else going on is no problem. But the other person on the line, so often the answerer is sometimes very weak. Now, can't that be boosted in the engineering room?
I can't hear you, Sally. I'm just kidding. Steve?
Yeah, you sound pretty good now, Sally. Well, it is an issue, and I've actually been working with our operators to try and get them to have more consistent levels. In fact, I think my note is still hanging right here over the console.
Yeah, I'm being scolded by Steve in this note saying, keep an eye on your levels to make sure that callers and guests and hosts so that we're not all over the place on the levels.
Now, downstream in the programming chain, the equipment chain, I've got equipment at several points to even out the levels, but we do need to start with them in the right ballpark in any case. Also, the transmitter sites around the state, not all of them had full audio processing complements when I got here, but I'm adding them with every passing month. As we get a little money, I add another unit. So that'll get better and better as we go along.
Yeah, and every once in a while, Sally, sometimes we have a phone line or something that even if I have the thing turned all the way up here on the radio board, it's still hard to hear someone.
All kinds of wacky
once in a while that happens too. But I'm watching the levels, and all of us will try to do a better job on that, to do what we can. Roger in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, a couple hopefully quick questions. One is, I'm wondering if you guys can do anything about syncing up the audio of your various radio, of your various stations. I'm in a situation where in one part of my house I listen on an FM station, and in another part of the house where I can't get the FM station, I listen on WHAAM, and often the signals aren't synced in time, so that when I go from one part of the house to the other, or when I'm standing in certain parts of the house, I hear both radios, and it drives me nuts.
How much of a differential do you get? Is it multiple seconds?
Well, it's multiple seconds.
Okay, well, so the difference may be there that WHAAM 970 has converted to HD, and by its nature, HD requires that the analog signal be delayed to match the digital. So there's about 8 seconds of delay in that. If the other station you're picking up hasn't yet had a modification for HD, it's still running closer to live, and so there's a differential there, definitely. That'll be resolved as each one goes to HD over the coming couple of years, I expect.
The other thing I'm curious about is whether there's any news on the amount of noise generated in FM reception by LED traffic signals. It used to be that you could drive down the street listening to FM and basically expect no interference. And now, if you're caught at a a lot of times if you're caught at a stoplight, the FM signal's basically wiped out.
That's one of your pet peeves, isn't it?
It certainly is. I've worked long and hard on that issue. It's not unique to any particular town. I think it may be unique to particular makes and models of traffic light systems that are being installed, but as these are upgraded, we are noticing a lot more radio interference coming out of these systems. And if you're listening to a station with a moderate signal into that area, it will cause interference. I mean, the wiring of the traffic lights is sort of wrapped right around your car, so there's a huge amount of signal focused right at that spot. Even though the noise coming out of those traffic lights might not be a lot in terms of wattage, but it's very closely coupled to your radio and much stronger than the distant FM signal. What I've done so far is I attempted in the case, I took as a test case the city of Madison, and I tried to work with the city transportation folks, and I was rebuffed at every turn. I gotta be honest about that. They really poo-pooed the whole idea. I also eventually...
How do you really feel about
that? I'm not too pleased about that. I offered to try to help solve the problem. I said, how about if we go out together and we'll try to figure out what's going on? Completely put off. No desire at all. The other route I took after that one didn't bear fruit was to get the FCC involved. They actually came and made a study, confirmed the issue exists, but they felt it wasn't bad enough to do anything about. Now, that's a subjective issue, and I took exception to that finding because the rules say any interference is unacceptable if the device that's causing the interference isn't a radio device. In other words, if that system isn't meant to put out radio signals, then if it bothers anybody's reception, it's a problem. But the guy from the FCC didn't agree with me on that.
All right. Thank you very much, Roger. We have another caller from Rick in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. You've recently installed some sort of a censorship system to cut off what content goes on over the air. I'm wondering if you would give me a step-by-step on how that works.
Should I test it right now? I'm just teasing.
That was one of the questions I had. If Phil could say something that shouldn't be on the air, maybe Steve could cut him off, and then we can hear over the air what it sounds like when you do that.
Steve's shaking his head on that. We're talking about the delay or the profanity dump is the name of the button, that if somebody makes swears on the air, I can push a button. I would push it. It's right to my right. And that would apparently take out that. I mean, there'd be like 5 seconds of silence,
right?
That would cover up. You'd have 5 seconds of silence instead of the swear word.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The 5 second amount is to give the operator who's running the console here, in Joy's case, she's doing it, give them time to react. Because a lot of times you're thinking about something else. You may be looking at a piece of paper and you say, whoa, what did he say? So you need a little time to react. Now, some stations will rig that so that it seems seamless. And the way they do that is they will have the 5 seconds of memory that's stored in this unit dump away, and then it goes live for a while, and it stretches out the delay till it gets back to 5 seconds. We preferred to go with a mechanism where you knew there was a gap, so that you had the silence, plus it stayed in delay the minute we came out of that. So it is completely detectable that this has occurred. And I would, it's up to the individual host whether they comment on it. If the caller or a guest was especially egregious about it, we should hang up on that call before the signal comes back.
I will say that I don't think it's been used at all,
not once.
So there's no censorship going on here. And it would only be used if there was one of the shocking seven words or variations of them meant to shock or titillate that might result in, why, Phil, why are we doing this?
Right. Our listeners are, in general, very civil, and we haven't had much need for it. But we're doing it in order to protect ourselves, because the FCC has come down very hard in recent years and on fining stations who might have a complaint from someone, and even the complaints are even from, they can be from people who didn't even hear it but heard about it. And so given that kind of climate and the danger of having an FCC fine that we couldn't afford, we've taken that precaution. But I hope we never need it.
Yeah, we absolutely are not. Like I said, I've never used it. I think there was one instance when one person used it and actually was a little bit too late. And
I remember that now. Yeah, the guest, it was a guest to a show coming in by phone, mm-hmm. and they were speaking with quite a thick accent.
And it was on, you couldn't tell at first.
So that even delayed further the operator's realization. Whoa. Mm-hmm. What
yeah,
did she say?
Yeah. But political speech is not dumped. Oh, no. It's only if there's an obscenity uttered. So thank you very much, Rick, for the call. We will take more calls after we take this short pause. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This is the first Monday of the month when we always welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo. Today we have an additional special guest, Steve Johnson, the director of engineering and operations at Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're focusing our discussion on technical issues and new technology and radio listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock, and after 9, Kathleen hosts her March open line to get your program ideas and guest suggestions. This is the first Monday of the month with Phil Corvo and today, Steve Johnston. Let me share a listener comment that we received in the past month, Phil, through our Audience Services Center. Commenting, I believe, on last month's show when you were on. I was not able to get on with the monthly show with Phil, as usual. I'm frustrated that the show has become a waste of an hour because suggestions are immediately chatted down. I also recommend not giving the call-in number so many times an hour. I can't get in because the lines are busy, yet Joy is still giving the number to fill time. Do you want to comment on that, Phil?
Well, unfortunately, we can't always take every call. I wish we could, and I'm sorry that that listener was not able to get in. But we do try to get to as many calls as possible, and we do try to, if there's a topic, for example, like today is technology and its effect on radio and public radio listening, we try to take the calls that are related to that topic. So it's just physically impossible to. There are Arbitron tells us there are about between 15,000 and 20,000 people listening right now, and it's impossible to take every one of those phone calls.
And I do give the numbers in the beginning and around those breaks that we take at about 20 after and 22. I'm sorry the caller thinks that's I'm doing it to fill time. I'm really not. I'm doing it so people know the number if they want to call in with a question.
Yeah, plus you get into a rhythm of doing your show, and not every day do you have a full complement of calls, I imagine. So
that's true. That's
so
true.
It's a natural thing. You know, another element of what he was talking about struck me, and that was, this idea that we're filling time. Well, it's creating a structure of a show, I think, more importantly, and a lot of people tune in at odd moments and everything. It's not everybody's as devoted a listener, but we're really glad when somebody does. They can also contact Audience Services and provide feedback to us, definitely.
Well, that's a good point, Steve, because, in fact, we're looking at some sheets right now that have listings of sampling of comments from the past month. All of the comments that come into Listener Services are transcribed and read by all of us, certainly all of us in management and all of us in programming at Wisconsin Public Radio. They're very important, and we don't talk about them enough, but we get, upwards of, over 100 comments that are transcribed every month, probably about 50 or more a week. So it's an important source of information for us.
Yeah, and you can go to our website to send a comment to our Listener Services department. That's WPR.org. Our Listener Services number, or Audience Services, is 1-800-747-7444. And your feedback, your questions, your comments, welcome anytime, all the time, not just on this program with Phil on the first Monday of the month.
Right, and you can direct it to anybody on staff. I mean, if the comment's for me, I've had people say, comment on the, Phil, this is my feeling about blah, 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 you know, whatever the topic is. And so it's very helpful.
We had a bunch of emails during this program. Let me share one from Laura in Madison, who wants to know, when will the secondary programming with HD radio become permanent in the Madison area, Steve?
Well, it is fully operational on WERN 88.7 FM. WHA, the AM station, won't have it. There isn't enough bandwidth for a second channel on the AM services. But the FM is there now, and it is operational 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I try to keep an ear on it. There's probably not many people listening right now, so I'm keeping an ear on it.
And, what is on WERN 2?
That's the 24-hour classical service.
Yeah, so instead of, so it's not the Ideas Network that's on the WERN channel.
That's correct. I think we're considering it permanent now.
Yeah, it's operational.
We're still working out some of the bugs, but it's supposed to be on 24 hours a day. And I should say that it's the way it's going to be designed is that when WERN and the stations of the NPR News and Classical Network are, when they're broadcasting classical music that's originating from here with our Wisconsin Public Radio hosts, that'll be simulcast. And then when it goes to NPR News, like Morning Edition and All Things Considered, we'll switch over to the classical service that Steve was talking about.
Yeah, we did get a bunch of comments from listeners through our Audience Services Center in the past month talking about podcasting and webcasting downloads. I am joining for access to podcasts of Calling All Pets. I think webcast is a great idea. I'm looking forward to trying that out. Looking forward to using the webcast or the WCast because this is the only way I can catch my favorite programs. Thanks. So, Phil, what's going on with this podcasting or webcasting, and is that the same thing?
It's very similar, and we've started this service that we call WCasting, and for all of the programs that are produced here at Wisconsin Public Radio, like your show, Joy, and Kathleen Dunn, and Larry Mueller, and Ben Marins, we put these programs in an MP3 format, and that means that people can download them and burn a CD or keep it and listen to it whenever they want. We haven't made it into podcast. Just takes that one step further and automatically sends it to your computer, and we haven't done that yet because of the extra bandwidth that would take. I mean, if somebody signed up to have your show, Joy, podcast, it would be 15 hours a week of stuff that would be pumping out. So we're asking people to be selective. And this is a benefit of membership in Wisconsin Public Radio. And any member at any level can have access to this wonderful archive of material to be stored and used in any way you like.
Yeah, I guess I misspoke. It's WCast, not webcast. Webcast is something else, isn't it?
Right.
I mean,
webcast
that's when you can tune
in. Is the live stream.
We've got that too.
And we have actually, that in three different formats,
that's right,
Steve?
That's right. We've got Windows Media, Real Audio, and streaming MP3, a lot of different options there. They're all listed on the website. You can pick whichever one serves best. We're really covering all the options on that, I think, at this point. All the main players are there. And there's another option, too. If MP3 downloading doesn't suit what you'd like to do, we still have our Real Audio On Demand service where our programming can be called and streamed at you on demand at other times of the day. So if they miss Joy's show in the morning, they can pick that up later on.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We archive them all on the website, so you can listen through your computer.
A lot of options.
Let's go to some more calls. Kathy in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I am listening to you at 90.7 FM. Every once in a while, I cannot get you. I get WUWM, and that's 89.7. And they had a big drive to get a stronger reception, which I foolishly contributed to. Is that ruining my reception of you from time to time?
That's what you get for contributing to WWM. No, just kidding.
Oh,
they're a good outfit. They
yes,
do a good
they
job.
Are. They are. And
you might be near their transmitter site, though. Your radio might be getting sort of overwhelmed by their signal. It's what we call blanketing interference. And that's, I don't know the details of the geography there, but that would be my guess as to why, because that's a pretty far distant frequency separation. Do you get this effect on multiple radios or just one?
Well, I have a couple. They're smaller radios. I keep one in my bathroom and one in my bedroom and one in my kitchen. And I get it on my smaller ones in my bathroom and my bedroom, particularly.
Well, it could be those radios are the most simple inside. You know, they were probably more inexpensive. And that generally means, not always, but generally means it's a much simpler receiving circuit in there. And it's less discriminating between multiple stations.
So I should just get a couple better radios?
Yeah, and experiment with their placement and things to try to minimize.
Well, I do that. I turn them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kathy, are you on the east side of Milwaukee?
Northwest.
All right, that's not it. I thought that the WHAD signal in Milwaukee also had some problems in that east side area.
Because the transmitter is in Delafield, which is a little ways out, our signal is not as strong as WWM, which has a transmitter downtown. So that can be part of it. But keep trying, Kathy, and maybe a dipole antenna would help.
Will this HD help me?
It will help you.
If I bought an HD radio.
You know, I can't say with certainty because the individual situations are going to be almost infinitely varied, but there's certainly a possibility of it. I mean, HD radio tends to resist interference better than the analog does.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kathy. Greg in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Greg.
Well, this is about a similar situation. I'm on the north end of Bayview, and I get I've gotten a more staticky signal in recent months. I have a little portable radio that I listen on. And also, once I get into the downtown and east side areas, the signal becomes unreceivable, and I'm wondering if the broadcast towers in that vicinity affect the signal that gets onto the east side. And also, I get an interference from 103.6, I think it is. I can hear music in the background off of your frequency.
And this is, you're listening to WHAD, and
yes.
Bayview is south of Milwaukee.
That's right.
Yeah. Steve?
Well, that's a far distance, actually, from Delafield, and our signal will be at among its weakest at that point. So it is a struggle. There's no doubt there's issues. Downtown is another case. It can be very spotty. Now, that's a good case of HD paying off because last drive I took through Milwaukee downtown, I held HD continuously throughout that whole drive, whereas I would have found the analog signal unlistenable in those same circumstances. So that is one case where I saw HD help. It may not help in every case, though. In this situation, I'm interested to know if you hear it on multiple radios or just one.
Automobile is a stronger receiving circuit, I assume.
Yeah.
So the car is not too bad, but I do have I bicycle a lot, so I use a portable radio. And I'm wondering if you can get a relay transmitter or a repeater that would cover this east side and the shoreline.
We've studied it long and hard. That's one of our top priorities because there's such a large population to be served. That would be a very important one.
Exactly. That's certainly something that we're looking at, Greg.
However, hundreds, if not thousands, of other people are also studying hard to find a way to wedge another FM signal into Milwaukee, so it's a real challenge.
Yeah. Jerry in Green Bay sent this email. Can you give us more information about the problems of varying audio levels? Listening to WHID, the volume often changes dramatically when you reach a news break, then a station ID, or another change of program or program source. So that's not just me not watching the level, Steve. Mm-hmm. Is something going on there?
Well, it's all part of the relationship. At the individual bureaus, they're injecting a signal when they do their local programming. So in WHID's case, it's coming from our Green Bay Bureau, that Northeast Regional Bureau. And I mentioned earlier, I'm working hard right now to spread out more gain-controlling equipment because no matter how much the engineers in the field chase those levels, they're going to vary from day to day. People are involved. It's humans. And the automatic gain controls will help even that out. So that's one of my big projects right now.
All right. Thanks to Jerry for the email. Mike in Franklin. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question about the input. About a year ago, everything for the microphones was nice and clear, but then suddenly in the past year, as the commentators and guests, I can hear background noise like paper shuffling, keyboards clicking, and stuff like that. So I was just wondering if there was a change in microphone technology that's now picking up more ambient noise.
You know what? The keyboard clicking was, I'm guilty of that. Phil Corvo gave me a silent keyboard, and I hope you're not hearing it clicking now because we don't even have any clicking going on, but that was a problem, and that was because we actually added a computer in the studio where I could communicate with my producer,
right.
And you started hearing it because we started using that, but now I have the silent keyboard. But there's other, the paper shuffling and others. Do we have stronger mics than we used to?
Well, I would say that as we add signal processing equipment to try to level out the signal, sometimes it brings up the bad along with the good.
Yeah, it's tending to bring up the low sounds as well in its efforts. It's an endless trade-off there with audio processing. That may be a difference that will be perceived over time. The microphones have been pretty standard in this room. However, this is new, about 2 years ago, I'd say. So there was a change at that point in the nature of the control room here.
You know, I wanted to point this out to you, Steve. See this? There's the windscreen on the mic broke over the pledge drive.
Okay.
So
that's one way to get his attention.
Yeah. Megan in Ashland, hi, you're on the air.
Well, I have this strange thing. At night, I get the TV stations on my radio, and I have a Bose.
Why would she get her TV station on her Bose?
She could get a Channel 6, right?
Yeah, the TV station band, the upper channels of the low band, 2 through 6, are quite close to the FM band. They're very close, and their audio is transmitted as FM. So that it's not that different, really, and it's a very similar issue as you would get from an FM station somewhere else on the dial interfering. Again, the point is, do you hear it on more than one radio or just the one?
Well, I just listen to the Bose at night, you know,
To experiment, try a different radio to see, you know, when you catch it doing it,
yeah.
And you'll be able to discern whether the issue is outside of your control or is it just that particular radio.
Well, here's the question, Megan. Is it any good?
What do you mean?
The TV show.
Is it public television?
Jay Leno usually.
Oh, it's Jay Leno.
You can also, you might be finding yourself close to the TV transmitter site, in which case, just like with the other FMs, the radio might be having a little trouble. The Bose radios, in my experience, have wonderful sound. The audio sections are great. The radio tuners are just so-so.
Well, you know, we're out of time, gentlemen, and we had lots of calls and emails. We'll have to do this again sometime,
yes.
Focusing on
on
technology and technical issues. So thanks a lot. And, Phil, you'll be back next month, and maybe we'll focus in on another department of Wisconsin Public Radio then.
Okay.
All right. Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Steve Johnston, the director of engineering and operations at Wisconsin Public Radio. Remember that you can always send us a question or give us some feedback. WPR.org, our website. Lots of people to email on that website. And also the audience services number, toll-free number, 1-800-747-7444. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.